I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I couldn't believe that I had waited this long to have sex with him. Ever since I met his sexy thugged out ass, I've been thinking about doing nothing else but riding on that dick. But I was trying not to rush shit like I did with King and Mike, because look where it left me. Since justice came into my life, I was happy more. My hair started growing back from when I started to shed from all the stress that I went through with Mike's bitch ass, and a bitch was getting her life back on track. Justice had put me onto a job, so now I work for the city of Savannah part-time in their water department, making decent money. Plus, Justice really liked my kids, and more importantly, they liked him, and he treated us all good. He was always bringing something for the kids, from toys to clothes to shoes and whatever else he claimed caught his eye. My intentions were not to let him meet the kids so early in our relationship, but one day when I was with my homegirl Shanice and Alexis at the mall, we had all our kids with us, and we ran into each other, so it just happened. Shanice and Alexis's eyes down there popped out of their heads when they finally got to see how fine Magic Mike was that I had been talking to about. Needless to say, them bitches was too done with me when they heard that I hadn't had sex with him yet. Hell, they wanted to know, like I did, if the myth was true about white men having small dicks. But I could already attest to the fact that that was a lie. I had seen the motherfucking basketball shorts one night I was at his house, and I swear the imprint of his dick looked about the size of my son's leg. If he was hung like that, I was gonna have a damn good time this weekend. I smirked to myself, feeling my pussy instantly get wet. It had been so damn hard for me not to jump on the dick every time I saw his ass, but I played it safe. Anytime I knew I was going to be with him, I made sure to wear big ass grandma drawers with a pad to catch all the moistness that I was sure was going to drop. I swear the power, arrogance, and cockiness that Justice gave off just turned me on. And while he was talking that bullshit about not letting me out of the house, shit, he'd be lucky if I let that nigga come up for air this weekend. My body was screaming for some male attention, and my bullet just wasn't cutting it no more. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're back on a Wednesday to wrap up the week. That excerpt, well, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
Bulletball.
And Bulletball Extreme. And that excerpt was from I Ain't Like Them Other Niggas, book one. Well, you know, you gotta be ambitious out here, Karen. By LaToya Charmaine, of course. Yeah, you know, that was I think a lot of times when you're dating now, you know, you have a lot of different realities going on. You got people, you got kids you're bringing into this.
Mm-hmm.
You meet somebody new, you want to decide how you're going to slowly introduce them to your children,
right? If you're going to you're going to have to introduce them to your children, but it's like, when do I? And I want to be sure you're around before I do. I don't, you know, a lot of people, which I completely understand, don't like for people to come in and out of their children's lives.
Right. And then, of course, you know, you have to worry about interracial dating and the stereotypes that come with that. You know, she was very cognizant of the fact that, you know, people were going to judge her, but she was also curious, you know. And then also, I think it brings it to the consideration of like how much dealing with somebody that's just not as stressful can just change your life. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like her hair was falling out when she was dealing with Mike, and you know, like that
stress will make your hair fall out.
Yeah. And so like just a man that won't stress you out can immediately improve the benefits and the health of your entire life,
mm-hmm,
right off the bat, you know. And that's, you know, and it seemed like the other stuff she was worried about, you know, meeting her kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Make your skin clear out, all that stuff. Because when you stressed out, your body starts showing the stress, like literally starts showing the stress. You get wrinkles, your skin start breaking out, your hair start breaking out, like falling out. Like it's a lot of shit that will happen when you're stressed.
Right. So King and Mike left her stressed out. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the old Mike. That was the one that he had sex with his best friend on his bachelor party day or something,
mm-hmm,
like that. So, you know, there's a lot of stress going on in her relationships, and sometimes you just need to be free, you know, of all that stress. And who knows where her and the white man, I think his name is Justice, who knows where that's gonna actually take her,
right?
You know, but even the hope and the opportunity for something new, if you allow yourself that, you can change your whole life just off of that energy of allowing something and the possibility of hope, as opposed to getting drug into the same cyclical nature of these bitter, toxic ass relationships with other motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, shout out to New Dick. Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can do anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. All right, let's see what we got in the news, guys. All right, lots of things are happening. Patreon, you guys may know, you guys are podcast listeners, you heard of Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I subscribe to a few, T with Queen and Jay, Medium Popcorn, Mundane Festival, you know, stuff like that. Well, Patreon will now give creators cash advances on their subscription money. Patreon, the site creators love because it helps them make money off of their work, has started a program called Patreon Capital, which grants micro loans to creators. It essentially is a cash advance. You get money now in exchange for some of your future earnings, plus a small premium. It's different from Patreon's usual business, which is enabling direct subscriptions to people whose work you like, then taking a cut off the top. But it will diversify the company's revenue, which should make Patreon a more sustainable business. So, PayPal has something similar to this. PayPal loans. What it really is, it sounds like, you know, depending on what the percentages of it are, it's almost like a payday loan.
Because
it's just them giving you money that they expect you to earn back.
Correct.
You know, it'll be interesting because I know Patreon's had other issues with subscribers and patrons that felt that.
And every time they turn around, they changing something and people are like, the fuck is this?
Right. They felt like it was unfair business practices and they don't really have a lot of choice. And, you know, they can kind of change thing on a whim. And then the next thing you know, you're messed up because of the business model and you have all your subscribers over there and they got all that stuff. So, you know, I could definitely understand that. And then also with these companies now, these tech startup companies, they want to be big. Like, no one just goes, all right, that's good enough. I'm cool with this. It's always like, you know, hey, we need all the fucking money now. We need investors. We need venture capital.
Nobody wants to do the slow growth.
Yeah, they want to go, what do you call it when you put your shit on the stock market? I forget what that's called, but they want to do that, you know, like.
They want to be on a stock exchange. It is word for it. I forgot.
But yeah, it's crazy.
Go public. That's what it is.
Yeah, they want to go public. Like they don't have the ambitions of like a small business. It's just like, okay, cool. And it's a little bit scary too because they're very boom or bust because,
right.
You know, you strap yourself to Patreon, you're getting a little bit of revenue, maybe you even sustaining a living off of it. And then they just make some horrible decision or they just go, oh, we can't make this work, we're out of business. And now you're fucked.
Right.
You know, so it's already scary enough, but, yeah, apparently they want more sustainable income than just the percentage they get off of podcasts and their subscribers.
And also, it's one of those things, too, where if you happen to be in a situation where you do, like, take out these loans, you're going to want to be sure you have as many subscribers as possible. So you're going to consistently, it's a self-promotion, you're going to consistently push it. People push it anyway, and there's nothing wrong with pushing it if you are, have, you know, a Patreon site. But for a lot of people, they go, oh, this is my living, like this is my income, yeah, I want to be sure that I have as many people out here as possible.
Yeah, I wonder what other options they could have to diversify their money, because if this isn't sustainable and they're not making enough off of this model, you know, it does make you wonder, because The other thing I would ask is, what is the employee culture there? Because this is one of the things right. people say. They'll be like, well, they already make enough money. They shouldn't be, you know, they should make even less than they do. Maybe. Let's ask the employees. Do they have health insurance? Are they, you know, do they have a union? Are they making competitive salaries?
Do they have 401ks?
Do they get vacation? Because all this shit, American workers are expensive. And so.
Yes, we are.
You know, if you are employing, you know, people and you're paying them for real, it may cost money to do that and do it correctly. And that may have to come in a cost of bigger prices to other people, or a bigger percentage of cost, or whatever. Because essentially what Patreon is doing is saying, we're saving you money from setting up all this shit yourself. You know, and so this makes it so you can just start an account, click on some things, and now you're getting paid.
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting, man. So if you're a podcaster and you're on Patreon, you know, something to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. It is an option for some people.
Let's see what else is happening, guys. Bone Thugs and Harmony. Well, I can't believe this is real, but it's in RollingStone.com, so it must be real.
Okay.
Bone Thugs and Harmony changed name to Boneless Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, why are we boneless? Like the wings? I don't like this.
They're doing this as a homage to Buffalo Wild Wings. Why not just change your name to Bougie Chicken Nuggets and Harmony? In addition to the overarching name swap, the three members of the group will also go by new names. Crazy Bone, Flesh and Bone, and Wishbone are now Crazy Boneless, Flesh and Boneless, and Wishboneless.
Mm-mm.
See, this is why we need to take care of our legends, y'all, okay?
Mm-mm.
We need to pay, we have to pay them, okay?
Mm-mm.
What did Jay-Z say? I'm overcharging niggas for what they did to the Cold Crush. That's what we gotta do for Bone Thugs and Harmony, cause when you ain't got the money to say no, now you gotta walk around and be crazy boneless.
Crazy boneless wings.
Oh my goodness.
They're gonna have flavors after them and everything. Watch. They're gonna be on the menu.
If Craig Mack was alive, they would have had him sign up too, and he could have been the flavors.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna have first of the month specials.
Puff Daddy would have took that money though. Yeah. First of the month specials. Yep. Yep.
It's the first of the month. Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Ain't nothing like wings in a Ziploc bag. Oh man. Meet me at the cross boneless.
Meet me at the cross sauce.
Well, we will be boneless.
Yes.
Meet me at the sauce rolls.
Well, we'll be dipping.
Meet me at the sauce rolls. We will be boneless.
Yes.
And I'm gonna dip everybody. And I'm gonna dip everybody. And I'm gonna dip everybody.
Yeah. Gonna be naming the sauces honey mustard barbecue. Sweet and sour.
Bone, 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 boneless. Bone, bone. Tell me what you gonna do when your wings ain't got no bones. When boneless come for you, boneless come for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. Are they gonna be in a commercial or something?
Got to be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't do this just for that. Y'all gonna start seeing them rap, because you know everybody in the nostalgia phase, everybody going back to like our childhood and like bringing everybody back. So yeah, I could see commercials and them being on the menus for a special certain period of time, or having Bone Thug and Harmony specials and shit. Boneless Thugs and Harmonies specials and shit like that.
It's Boneless Wings and Biggie. It's Boneless Wings.
Come on.
Oh man, that's so wild. So they said, according to marketing materials released by Buffalo Wild Wings, Lazy Bone is not on board the new boneless identity. I ain't changing shit, Lazy says. In a behind the music ass spoof released in conjunction with the announcement,
he's like, nope.
Bone Thugs and Harmony changes their name to Boneless is preposterous. According to Seth Friedman, the CMO of Buffalo Wild Wing, there's a complicated non-monetary reason for the name change. These boneless wings are so good. What if they made Bone Thugs and Harmony have an identity crisis? Friedman wrote in a statement. In reality, the group's longtime manager, Steve Lobel, says he was approached by a marketing agency a few months ago about the campaign. Three of the four were down with it. Lazy Bone was hesitant. He's still hesitant about it. He wasn't with it. But the other three gentlemen were. Lobel has worked with the group since 1994, meeting them through Eazy-E. Boneless Thugs Harmony will sell merchandise featuring the new name, mm-hmm. including t-shirts, hats, and a golden boneless chicken chain. Oh, come on.
Come on.
What in the Jerry Rice? Chicken chain. See, this is what happened with Jerry Rice, and we ignored it. Next thing you know, he was telling Trump he did a great job. No. We got to stop this while we can. Mm-mm.
Lazy Bone is the only one that went like, nope.
He got some integrity. He's like, I got lazy backbone, okay?
Come on.
When asked whether the group will change their social handles or release music under the new moniker, the label was quite cagey. It's a lot of things they're working on. We have a lot of things that we can't discuss. Okay. The Midwestern Crew went through a variety of names in the quarter century as a group. The Band-Aid Boys, B-O-N-E, Enterprise, before settling on Bone Thugs and Harmony. At this time, it's unclear how long the boneless era will last. Well, I mean, until they run out of sauce. Mm-hmm. Man, the Boneless Thugs and Harmony, boy. Mm-hmm.
And like you said, when you have to take care of people, because you don't never know, like they had like number one albums and all this type of shit. Yeah, that shit matters.
Mm-hmm. When the money stops coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm surprised they're not going to be on this, in this next article, because I don't know if you heard, but there's a newly announced festival that people are excited about.
Okay. A food festival. I'm here for the food.
It's a music festival, Karen.
A music festival.
A newly announced hip hop and R&B festival set to be in Los Angeles in May. It has, a lot of people excited.
Okay.
You want to know who all in this one? I'm going to say some names. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
Now, that festival is called Lovers and Friends.
Okay.
It's in Los Angeles, May 9th. They already accepted money.
Okay.
Here are your headliners.
Okay.
Miss Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
Usher.
Okay.
Ludacris and Lil Jon.
Okay.
I guess it's a group. For some reason, their names all together. TLC.
Okay.
Jaheim Aiko. Summer Walker. So two out of the people I named, they not Miss Lauryn Hill and Summer Walker. Between both of them, you're gonna get at least one of them.
Yeah, you can get it's a 50% chance one of them gonna come.
Megan Thee Stallion, somehow underneath TLC.
How's she Lovers and Friends?
Nelly. Underlay, yeah.
I guess she under the friends part, you know, because you know how rest some of them, a lot of these groups sing like love songs. Okay, I'm with it now.
Lovers and Friends. I mean, isn't that an old song?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's like Lil Jon, Ludacris, right? Lovers and Friends, something like that.
Something like that. Probably was before that, but yes.
All right, Sean Paul.
Yeah, and I'm surprised Megan Thee Stallion ain't the headliner. What is happening here?
Sean Paul, T-Pain. Brandy, Monica, Ja Rule, and Fat Joe.
Okay.
SWV.
I don't think all these people.
SWV, they still together.
Mm-hmm.
Saweetie, Lil Kim, and Foxy Brown.
Did they just was like throw name all the black people?
Ginuwine, Drew Hill. Next.
Is this a week long concert?
Next. 112. Mario. Wow. Mario, they dug him out of the crypt. Wow. Twista. Eve, Reverend. I swear I see Eve on my morning TV like 5 days a week.
Yes, you do.
Trina. Tweet. A. Marie. Wow. We going back
is,
to.
Is Drew Hill, Drew Hill on the list too?
This one thing, Mace.
Okay.
Cameron. Mike Jones.
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones.
Martell Jordan. This is how we do it.
Yes. Now I go to that one.
You and I. Da, 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 da. You and I. I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
Mm-mm. John B.
Yes. Don't listen to what people say.
Whose CD case did they find?
Right, come on, that's what I'm talking about. There was like, name a list of people.
Who's Columbia House?
who's aunts? Because you know, if this is your jam, you in the aunt age, you like 30 and above, 40 and above. who aunt got a CD mix that they wrote their name called Lovers and Friends? They was like, oh, this is the jam.
Baby Bash.
Never heard.
Frankie J. Mm-mm. And Nina Sky. Mm-mm. Sounds by Soulection. Loversandfriendfest.com. The grounds at Dignity Health Sports Park is where it's supposed to be at. And so a lot of people said, man, this is quite the lineup for 2005.
It is. How much are the tickets?
And also, if you look at the, I'll try to put it on screen for you guys, but like the flyer art looks like early 2000s No Limit, Photoshop. Mm-mm. Like all the words is in diamonds.
Don't y'all give them no money. This is a scam.
Only thing that's missing is a tank. And it's also the only thing that's missing is Tank.
Yes! Tank should have been on the list. Why ain't Tank on the list? Tyrese? Why ain't Tyrese on the list?
You and Mom made it over Tank. And yes, Drew Hill was on the list, Karen.
Yes, Drew Hill's on the list. I was about to say, y'all done went through every other group. Sleeping in my bed, messing with my head.
Y'all gonna be sleeping outdoors if y'all go to this. But that's the photo. That's the cover of it, the flyer. The thing that happened though that made a lot of people kind of skeptical is that people started pointing out that some of the artists were saying, I'm not coming to this.
Right. Okay. Oh, okay. Right. Because I'm about to say, how could you book all those artists?
Yeah. Like, so it might be Fyre Fest Part 2.
Because. Mm-hmm. Give y'all money.
Lil Kim came out and was like, she said, this is so fake. I am not a part of this. Let's see. Lil' Kim, Mace, Thugger, Twista, and more are calling the promotion a fraud. If you bought tickets, make sure you get a refund.
Right.
Twista said, locked and loaded, playing all the hits, you dig. So then Twista initially denied he was part of it. Then he wrote on Instagram that he would be there. So I don't know if he just fucking with people or not, but man, you gonna get sued. You better stop playing with these people money.
You gonna be like Ja Rule.
Lil Jon Ludacris was silent in response to an inquiry from BuzzFeed about the confusion. The spokesperson for Golden Voice, the company behind the festival, said our festival is 100% confirmed. Lineups are always subject to change. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be some changes. Mm-hmm. Y'all going to show up there. It's going to be motherfucking Ray Ray and his cousin from the parking lot of Kroger's out here dropping SoundCloud songs on y'all.
Yeah, y'all going to fuck around and have Boneless Thugs and Harmony out there. Y'all gonna be like, the fuck is this?
Boom, 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 boom. Let's boom, boom, boom.
Yes! Tell me what you gonna do when you run out of sauce.
When sauceless come, boneless come for you.
Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna be highly upset.
As all the rumors spread around Twitter, people began to say it seems like lineup may be too good to be true. Yeah. Yeah, it's reminding people of Fyre Fest.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of jokes was going on around the thing. People took a picture of that bread with the cheese on it and that salad.
Come on! Like, and you know, we Negroes, so you're going to have like one leaf for collard greens and a corner of cornbread. You know how we do. You ain't even going to get a sandwich. You're going to get one baked bean.
Oh, man.
And a dab of potato salad.
Yeah, they said this the food they serving at Lovers and Friends Festival. Another one said that Ja Rule and Billy Dappin said Lovers and Friends Festival about to pull some Fyre Festival mess.
Don't y'all do that.
Look at this meme. It's Ja Rule counting a bunch of money talking about Lovers and Friends Fest about to be .. fire with a Y. Oh, the Mr. Rogers fleet on the clown mask.
Somebody say, who's sucking for the water? And you know, we ain't gonna have no water. It's gonna, who's sucking for the Hennessy?
Damn, man. Y'all, that nostalgia gonna get y'all fucked up, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, because the list is too long. I'm not trying to find the list is just too long. Like, this is like a week long festival, literally.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg went on his Instagram and said,
what up, dog? This big Snoop Dogg. coming at you live and direct from my secret hideout. The Lovers and Friends concert. I am one of the booking agents, one of the promoters to the show. Sending a message to Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim, get at me on the DM so we can get at you about this money. We was talking to some of your peoples, or we thought we was talking to some of your peoples. Get at me on the DM so we can try to get you this money, see if you with this thing or not. But as far as everybody else on the show, 100% confirmed. So make sure you get your tickets when that shit come out, because they're going to go fast. I mean real fast. You seen the list. Lil' Kim.
You better hope this is legit. Like, because people will sue.
We can get you this money.
Why is this moving so slow? What happened to the audio?
Oh, so y'all thought talking to her people.
According to him.
Right.
I mean.
Or you may have, and then she thought about it and was like, when everything came out, was like, no.
I mean, I was with it, but. Like Snoop being involved does not make me more likely. It makes me less likely to give some money to it, you know, like after all his stuff with Gail. I just feel like I need to stay away from that energy right now. At least he didn't call Lil' Kim. Can I call her one?
I'm glad he did not.
That's the funniest part of that video, the most underrated part of that video. I might have to pull that drop, because that's the dumbest. Like, isn't, you know, ain't nobody there to stop him. He try to act like he getting permission. Can I call her one? Can I call her one?
I be loving his hair scarves. His hair scarf collection is on fleek.
Nothing makes me feel older than watching Snoop Dogg film shit from like what appears to be his waist looking up with no background. Like,
he don't know about filters or nothing like that. Yes, that's when you know you're old.
He's never lived up to the Uncle Snoop moniker. Mm-mm. Quite as much as when he's filming that shit and you feel like you're a toddler
looking up at him.
It's like, I guess we know what's on Snoop's ceiling. That's about it, though. You don't know what's in his house.
Mm-mm.
Maybe that's
why. I don't
why.
Blame him for that.
Yeah, after what happened at Pop Smoke, dude, man, I could see people being like, nope.
Mm-mm.
Boy Scouts filed for bankruptcy amid a rash of sex abuse claims, declining membership.
Mm-hmm. But y'all afraid about teachers that happen to be gay, right? Like that's the problem.
Oh, you mean the camp, yeah, counselors people, right? Or whatever.
We're more concerned about them than actual sexual abuse, right? Right, right.
Yeah, I can't front though. I feel like now the ball's in the Catholic Church's court.
Yes, it is.
Okay, guys, the Boy Scouts have upped the ante to quitting, and I know you guys also have a ton of sexual abuse and declining membership. So I feel like you should try to match them. You know, go on ahead and go out of business. You know, I would feel bad about it, but you mm-hmm. know,
fuck some of you, fuck them.
I feel bad for some of the kids that
right, that's what that I feel weren't bad get, for.
That, the ones that weren't getting sexually abused, that were having a good time going out and right. doing stuff and not having, you know,
no problems or anything. Their parents weren't problematic. They're like, oh, let me get my baby into something.
But we talk about an organization that will literally throw all these kids under the bus just for, you know, to keep things hush hush. Can't. Mm-hmm. It's better not to have an organization then,
right? And y'all separated from the Girl Scouts. There are some Girl Scouts that actually would have wanted to be Boy Scouts, and y'all was just like, nah, start your own shit. And they was like, we baking cookies and shit like that. What are y'all doing? Oh, y'all out of business.
And then the Girl Scouts are the ones that I believe open up their ranks to trans children mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like,
the Boy Scouts would have never did that.
Yeah, you know, and maybe that's because of how they were founded. You know, it could be that they were like, look, we were founded based on exclusion.
Come on, so
now we're gonna start our own thing. But yeah, interesting.
Learn to bake. Girl Scouts got the cookies. Y'all didn't bake nothing, so people was like, mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know what. I think they do like popcorn or something. I can't remember what the fucking Boy Scouts
do. Nobody bumped that.
Billie Eilish says she know. Now listen. Now it would be a conflict if the Girl Scouts started having large swaths of sexual abuse claims, because as righteous as people are, it's hard to quit Girl Scout cookies. So that won't be a tough one. They might be worse than Chick-fil-A for people. to give up Girl Scout cookies.
I might have to find me an off-brand that's close enough to it then.
It's like, I don't agree that Kiba can molest children, but Thin Mints only come around once a year. I can see people making compromises.
My purple box of Samoans only come around once a year.
Yeah, like, I'm not necessarily okay with that. I'm just saying, it would be, I'd be lying to you guys if I didn't say it'd be tough to know that that's, that you had to give that up for some reason. Billie Eilish says she no longer reads social media comments amid bullying trolls. It was ruining my life. She told BBC on Tuesday ahead of her appearance on the Brit Awards in London that she no longer reads her Instagram comments due to the hateful comments being left on her post. Eilish has been the subject of heavy scrutiny after she became the youngest person to win four main categories at the Grammys. It was ruining my life, the 18-year-old told BBC reporter Louise Minchin. I stopped 2 days ago, literally 2 days ago. I stopped reading comments fully, she explained. It's insane that I've even been reading comments up until this point. I should have stopped long ago. The problem is I've always wanted to stay in touch with my fans and keep talking to them. People have ruined that for me, and for them, they've ruined it for them, and that sucks.
Yeah, isn't this the young lady that when they was announcing that she won, I think I seen clips going around where she was shaking her head like, I hope I don't win, and was like, okay.
I don't know. I didn't watch those clips. And I'm not looking it up. But the thing for me is, she also was the one that had said, she had talked about people lying in hip hop. And people got black, I know black people got mad at her, so maybe it was black people that would started trolling her. You know how it doesn't take much for
it, don't take a lot,
people, you know, people will call it dragging and all these other names, but it's essentially harassment under a different name, and they'll be in all your Instagram comments and shit of a little of a kid, essentially an 18-year-old, being like, let me just say something fucked up to you every time you like breathe, as opposed to being like, I didn't like that thing she said and moving the fuck on. It's gotta be like some type of, I don't know, justice by harassment. The other thing though, it kind of makes me think of something I said on the show about how, and maybe it was on the pregame, I can't remember, but like how one day we might have to give up interacting with our fans. You know, it's not all to the good, man. Like hopefully you have good interactions, but then people, you know, kind of, right now we have such an open door policy kind of where people, you know, people fucking DM me for stuff, email for stuff, and I'm seeing it, you know, right. And you know, I don't prefer to do business that way and stuff like that anyway. I don't, you know, but people, just some shit crosses their mind and they're sending a message to me, you know, and I try to take it, you know, because my nature is one of like closed offness. But I over the years, I've been reforming my brain to look at it as a positive and go, this person saw this video and they thought of me. And that is ultimately a nice thing. But it also works the other way. You know, somebody has a, you know, a complaint about the show or something, they also are reaching me. They're not going through my manager. They're not going through our production person. It's just directly to me. I don't like this thing you did.
Right.
You know, you messed up, you know, and people don't consider the cost of that.
No.
You know, because
they think they're the only one.
Well, it's a product to them. You know, I'm paying you, you know, I'm paying for this. I'm listening to this. I'm sharing this. I'm following you on social media. So it's like a product to them as opposed to like a relationship. Right. So, you know, where if let's say there was something you were doing, for the show and I just felt it wasn't good, I'm not gonna, you know, call you out or be mean about it or whatever, but I might pull you to the side and be like, what do you think about this idea or something. I'm gonna couch it in a way that's not you know, does not make you angry or defensive or whatever,
right?
But if it was Time Warner Cable and my cable wasn't working, I'm not calling Time Warner Cable and being like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I don't have a relationship with them. They're an entity to me. They're not a person to me.
Correct.
And so we exist in this weird space where we're kind of entities to people and not really. And so is, I mean, we're not nearly as big as Billie Eilish, but so do these other, these celebrities kind of, they're basically becoming a product to these people. And while you hope to be able to participate in social media like everybody else gets to, I can understand backing away from it or feeling like I can't really do this.
Yeah, because like I said, it's something we talked about on the show. I am grateful and I am thankful of the relationship we have with our fans, but I don't know what may change in the future that may cause the relationship to change. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm enjoy the moment as is, and if it changes, we will adapt and adjust according to the change, because because yes, we do have a very open door policy compared to other people, because you know, me and Roger talked about it properly, but there are other people we go, well, they wouldn't do these to this people or that person, why, you know, why do people feel like they can do it to us?
Well, even then, if they did do it, a lot of times it's just layers between your average fan and a person, right?
Correct.
And I think a lot of these celebrities have been taught, like, keep this relationship with your fans, be open, be honest. But the price for openness and honesty in a lot of cases, in a world with full of jealousy, envy, a lot of hatred, a lot of harassment, a lot of people that are fueled by negativity because of, you know, the way social media is kind of set up,
right?
Like, you are gonna lose that at some point. It is wild that up to 2 days ago, Billie Eilish, one of the most famous people in the world, was just on Instagram chatting it up with her fans. You know, I think about that when I think about Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. Some of the same people that loved them a month ago hate them now.
Correct.
And they're talking about their child, and they're being very disrespectful and all of this stuff. And it can happen like that because you decided to live openly, you decided to live honestly, you decided to be an advocate, you decided to support your child, whatever it is. People feel so entitled to your life that your decisions are now about their insecurities.
Right.
So, oh, you want to support your child? No, I don't like the way that makes me feel. Cause our relationship has always been about me, and it's a relationship unbeknownst to you. Right?
So, unbeknownst to you. Like, I don't know who you are, but unbeknownst to you, we got a functioning relationship.
Yeah. So I could definitely understand that, man. And like, you know, we just talked about the woman who killed herself yesterday, and how much of that harassment was online.
Correct.
How much of that was, like, we talk about the media, but how much of the people taking cues from the media go out, find these people, I'm outraged, and they're on their Facebook, they're on their Instagram, they're on their Twitter, constantly saying vile shit to them. The latest revelation follows last month's call for fans to stop dressing as her in public and tricking bystanders into believing they were the singer.
Wow.
Please stop doing this shit. It's not safe for you, and it is mean for the people who don't know any better. You make me look bad, Eilish wrote on social media. Yeah, that's true. It's definitely not safe for you, because if somebody really legitimately thinks you her, and you guys don't know what kind of threat she may be under, right, what kind of stalking shit motherfuckers
and
may have done.
Being a woman, dudes feel like they can just walk up on you and just say anything to you.
Right. And then, of course, you know, it is mean to the people that really thought, I met Billie Eilish, and it's like, no, you didn't.
Right.
As she continued in the interview, she said, it's a bunch of trolls, and the problem is, a lot of it is really funny. I think that's the issue, that's why nobody really stops, because it's funny. Also, I would say it's anything for a joke. Say anything to make somebody laugh. I experienced that growing up. I'd say things that I thought people would laugh at, and then later I would realize that wasn't a cool thing to say.
Right.
Yeah,
that's just human nature just growing. Yes.
So I just think that's interesting, man. I mean, obviously it's not gonna change most people's behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, but in general, I think the stuff that's happening to celebrities right now, they're kind of on the forefront of a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if we took a deeper look into a lot of people who aren't celebrities that have had severe backlash from the internet, mental health issues, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of stuff that's happening to our brains that I don't know that we're ready for, or
nope,
that's even really been truly understood, that okay, you now have PTSD from that time you were battling in a Facebook group, and you know, and people were talking shit about you for 3 days. Like,
yes sir.
I don't think we're really there yet to even understand that, because no one's really testing this stuff, and the people that know, to have all the information and research, they're the ones profiting from it.
Correct.
You know, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, they're the ones that know these things already. So you gotta be, you know, you gotta be careful of yourself, but I think a little bit of empathy might help everybody to see, oh, well, where this person is now, that's where I could be, or this is the other side of that thing that I'm doing to other people.
Right. And it's gonna be interesting, because just like now you're getting a lot of studies about black people and how, you know, PTSD affects us in certain communities and all this stuff. Like, now you're getting a lot of studies about black and brown and marginalized LGBTQ people, but these people have to actually grow and become adults to do these tests. So now you have people that are young now, next 10 to 15 to 20 years, they're going to be adults, and they're going to do studies on the shit that affects them. So in the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to start doing studies on how does social media affect your brain, How does social media emotionally affect you? How does social media affect your relationship? Like, in the next 10, 15 years, we're going to start getting these studies on this shit, and people are going to be shocked and surprised on how this shit actually affects them. Because, you know, I don't know if it's PTSD, but there's things that have happened to us where before I know it, I'm just responding in a certain type of way, not realizing that I have been affected by that. And it's really hard to let that shit go sometimes.
And you don't have to be a content producer. I think this stuff is just consistently us bashing into each other. I don't think people realize the cost of it. Not all of us are meant to be as close as we are, quote unquote, on social media. You know, some of it's cool. Sometimes you find great friendships and matches out there, and some of it's not. You know, I know for me, this is one of those things where I can't control my online situation, so sometimes I just back off. But compared to real life, right? Like, so in online, I can be like, man, I really like this thing that this person said. And if I'm online, the response is gonna eventually turn into any little thing that person's ever done wrong, someone's gonna come and shit on it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how do I bring you back down off of this, right? Get you to where I'm at. Now, maybe that person in their spare time, their whole day is, I like to shit on everybody and everything. Mm-hmm. I remember every bad thing that anyone's ever done. My outlook on the world is mostly bad. Most of the things people do, everybody's full of shit, blah, blah, right? And so maybe my coming through and being like, well, maybe they didn't mean it that way. Maybe that's ruining their day. You know, it vacillates. Like, I'm sure there's other times where I've been mostly negative on something. Someone came in and was like, well, have you thought about it this way? And I'm like, well, I haven't. And fuck, that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to keep my negative thing going. So I think all of these, we're having more interactions than we used to. Because in real life, if I didn't like, I don't know, Roseanne Barr or something, someone's not gonna walk up to my table in the lunch in the cafeteria and be like, let me tell you about the thing she did that was like super feminist in the 90s and helped this girl out in her career, and now we know this person is blah blah blah, right? They're not gonna come over to my table and tell me that, because they had nothing to do with them. I can think what I want to think at my table and they're leaving me alone. And so I wonder how that changes our lives, that we're mostly all on these different apps and shit, and you got people giving you this conflicting, not just information, but moods. So like it's, I'm hitting your high with a low. I'm hitting your low with a high. Like, I wonder how that stuff works. And then, you know, at the center of it, I think the litmus test is a lot of these celebrities and stuff and content creators and creatives and people that create something that draws people to them. They're activists, even. They're good litmus tests for what the fuck is gonna happen to everybody. Cause
everybody,
to them, is just sped up, but to everyone's gonna get here eventually, where, you know, I mean, we've seen it where someone just posts a video or something innocuous and, you know, it goes viral, and then they become the subject of the social discussion in the world, good and bad.
Correct.
The NHS, I believe it's called the, it's like the National Health something. I believe it's in the UK. The NHS will refuse treatment to racist, sexist, and violent patients amid warnings that rising numbers of staff are facing appalling abuse.
Ooh.
Yeah. From April, any patient or hospital visitor found to be inflicting discriminatory or harassing behavior on staff could be barred from receiving care unless the case is an emergency. Previously, patients could only be refused help if they were aggressive or violent. It comes as new figures show the percentage of staff who say they have experienced discrimination has risen by a quarter in 5 years, from 5.8% to 7.2%.
Oh, ain't this over there, ain't the UK, ain't this over there where they got their own version of Trump?
It's, yeah.
And the, they got that Brexit shit happening?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think, are we any better?
No, we're not any better, but it's like those things go hand in hand. All of a sudden you get a fucking spike in people being attacked.
Yes.
Because of that motherfucker.
Right. I agree. Racism is bored something. And no, I'm not looking it up. That's right. That's as far as I'm giving you. So in the chat room, let me know.
Yes, you gave them the right to be fucking racist. So now they are all hell on everybody.
Racism was the most common form of discrimination, but the new figures also show the highest level of reported sexism and intolerance of religion and sexuality. Matt Hancock, because they also discriminate against Muslims and also discriminating against women and LGBTQ people. And, you know, if you go into that field as a Muslim person and you want to be a doctor, say, or nurse's aide or whatever, and then someone's like, I don't want you taking my blood pressure, I hate Mexicans or whatever, I hate Muslims, like, I mean, that's my UK version of rednecks, because they all sound the same. All racist people sound the same everywhere in the world.
Yeah, and this makes sense, because before you would basically have to put a hand on me. Now they go, if you say something crazy like that to me, you got to go, unless you're going to die. Like they said, you're going to die, we will save your fucking life. But if you're not going to die, go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them.
I got a headache, niggers. Okay.
Well, these niggers aren't going to be taking care of you, sir. There's the door. There is the door.
Yeah, Boris Johnson is his name. Thank you, chat room. The survey of more than 569,000 staff found almost 40,000 workers had personally experienced discrimination at work from patients, relatives, or other members of the public. What I would then ask, what percentage of these people are not cisgender white men for the most part? And I bet you'll find that it's a much higher percentage than you even think. Like, mm-hmm. Once you isolate out all the just like people that don't present as one of the groups that is discriminated against,
right,
you're gonna find that a lot of people are getting even a higher percentage. Like, if you go into this field and you are not a white man, chances are you'll be facing some discrimination.
Correct.
Among those who suffered discrimination, almost half said it was linked to their ethnic background, with more than one in five saying it was a result of their gender. And 5% of those polled said that they had suffered abuse because of their sexual orientation. In total, 28.5% said they had experienced harassment, bullying, or abuse from patients, relatives, or members of the public, with 15% experiencing physical violence. Damn. Yeah, that's a lot, man. I mean, I think it's a great move to say we won't treat you unless you like literally about to die. And if you racist while dying, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, dog.
I don't know what to tell you. You still rejecting, you want to pass on with it, baby, go on.
Like, you really committed to your racism if you like, I know I'm having a heart attack, but if you let that Muslim put his hands on me, I swear to God, I'll die.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, some people, they're gonna have to sit and be like, well, if you don't want us to serve you, baby, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it sounds like under the if you're about to die, they will do it anyway,
right? So it against your will.
But other than that, I don't blame them. I'd be like, here's some band-aids, good luck with that, racist.
Good luck with that.
Bernie Sanders tells Bernie bros to knock it off. We don't want that crap, he says. He said, we don't want that crap. He told CNN on Sunday that the so-called Bernie bro phenomenon is disgusting, and that anybody who is supporting me that is doing the sexist things, we don't want them. The Bernie bro phenomenon, where a mob of online Sanders supporters attack politicians and writers who express...
But I thought they didn't exist, though. I thought they was a made-up group, right?
Yeah, I got a feeling you'll see the Bernie bro, you know, podcasters, media people kind of avoid that he said this. Like, they'll at once give him credit for saying it, like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, well, you know, he disavowed him, now leave him alone, and at the same time deny that they exist. So
right,
like, that's the biggest thing. And it's so wild to me, because you would think after at least what now 4 years of people being like, this is a real phenomenon, what kind of like silo do you have to be in, like, socially, to be like, this phenomenon is made up and does not exist? Like, you must only fuck with people that fuck completely with you. Mm-hmm. and you're one of them. Like, you are one of these Bernie bro ass people.
For the trees.
It's the only way to be like, I actually do can go online, talk about this dude all day, and harass people that disagree with anything he does or says. You must be one of them, or you excuse the fact that you see a lot of people do that stuff as being okay. You know, like I said, one of the things I've done this year is I started listening to a Bernie bro podcast just because I wanted to hear what the fuck these niggas was talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's been fascinating to watch how they just flip and flop for this motherfucker any old way. They, you know, he stands for all this against all this injustice, but also Joe Rogan's endorsement is great and we should leave it alone. That's great. Mm-hmm. Nobody should say anything about it. You know, he he supposedly doesn't have these Bernie bros, but at the same time he has this very fervent support and all this stuff, but they don't really harass people, even though they harass people, you know, and it's all made up. It's all in everybody else's head. It's a big conspiracy.
Right. And they're gaslighting everybody around them. When people go, no, motherfucker, this is real.
Yeah. And then the other thing too with these Bernie bro folks, it seems like their second choice for their candidate, if they can't have Bernie, is Trump.
Right. Right. Like, and when people say that, people act like you're fucking insane. No, that's the truth.
Yeah, my man Andy Klein pointed it out on his Facebook page, and I thought it was a very relevant point, which is essentially they're once again saying if Bernie doesn't win, there's literally no one else we're willing to vote for, and also we're willing to just have more of Trump.
Correct, because at the end of the day, not trying to be funny, they just mimicking Bernie. That's what Bernie does. Bernie's not a part of the party. They go, fuck it, why should we be a part of the party? We'll just follow him wherever he goes.
Yeah, and I just don't think they realize that for those of us who are online, this is the main reason that he's a non-starter for people. I don't,
right.
Like I said, I'm not one of these people. I will vote for him. I don't have any reservations about it either. But it is just, I don't think they realize what a disservice they have done to this dude. And I don't think they're ever going to get it back. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they spend more time warring with people and harassing people and arguing with people and, you know, defending this man and harassing media figures and shit. They spend more time doing that stuff and anything in the name of him that they're willing to do. So, hey, you know, we say we like this guy because he's against injustice and blah, blah, blah. But hey, if calling you out of a sexist name, a homophobic name, whatever, cool. Like, if that helps me win a mental advantage online, I'm cool with that. So,
right.
It's a little bit scary to see people like that, but I actually appreciate him, saying to his people to lay the fuck off. Now, some people are saying that his campaign staff are Bernie bros and they be on Twitter doing shit too. I don't know if I don't expect him to lay off his campaign staff. But, if that's true, and he told them to chill the fuck out, we'll see. I guess only actions can tell if that's true or not.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I just really think that that's part of it. And I'm glad he did this, even if I know some people was like, well, he also talks about how people have been talking shit about him and his people. And I'm like, yeah, cause they have. I was one of them. Bernie So Black was a big ass joke, but it pissed all his supporters off and stuff. And, you know, I'm sure, that's the thing with politics. Everyone's talking shit about each other, but then some people take it further and they start harassing motherfuckers. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how they can't see that it's, I mean, even he's saying like, yeah, there's a level of this that's just not cool.
Right.
You know, so, but it's just gonna bring up all the same arguments from 2015 again.
Like I said, it's a motherfucking repeat.
Yeah, it's just gonna be a lot of, you know, they sexist, they, all this other shit. All right, let's see what else is happening, guys. What time? Okay, yeah, you know what? Let's get into some fucking with black people, everybody. All right.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe, makes us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals 25 for each article we cover. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with us today. George Zimmerman sues Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren over Trayvon Martin tweets. He's filed a defamation lawsuit against Democratic presidential hopefuls Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren, claiming that when they paid tribute to Trayvon Martin earlier this month, they inaccurately linked Martin's death with gun violence to garner votes in the black community. His lawsuit accuses Warren and Buttigieg, of actual malice or at a minimum reckless disregard for the truth. for tweeting about Martin on February 5th, which would have been his 25th birthday. In February 2012, when Martin was 17, Zimmerman shot and killed the unarmed teen in Sanford, Florida. Zimmerman was acquitted by a jury after he claimed he acted in self-defense. Trayvon's death sparked widespread protests and launched the Black Lives Matter movement. My heart goes out to Martin's mother at Sabrina Fulton and Trayvon's family and friends. He should still be with us today, Warren tweeted earlier this month. We need to end gun violence and racism. We need to build a world where all our children, especially young Black boys, can grow up safe and free. Man, she really wants these votes. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren is not playing with y'all. Mm-mm. Yeah, and I guess what in there is lawsuit worthy? She didn't even say Zimmerman's name. Buttigieg also tweeted, Trayvon Martin would have been 25 today. How many 25th birthdays have been stolen from us by white supremacy, gun violence, prejudice, and fear? He added a Black Lives Matter hashtag at the end of his tweet. The nerve. Wow. I mean, I know y'all told me he was a terrible racist that enabled a racist police force, but I guess he want these Twitter votes too. Jesus. That's put the Black Lives Matter at the end. It's not the Pete they told me he was. Mm-mm. Anyway, in this lawsuit, which was filed in Florida, Zimmerman claims the tweets falsely connect gun violence to Martin's death.
But he fucking got shot. The fuck? How did he get shot with a sword? The fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah. Why y'all acting like a gun actually killed him just because I shot him with a gun? He says it is a term associated with reckless and indiscriminate use of illegally owned firearms that leads to death or harms innocent victims. Yeah, this is definitely getting thrown out. Yeah. They didn't even really say nothing.
Didn't he say your name?
I thought the tweets was gonna be like, Trayvon Martin was a bit 25 today, fuck George Zimmerman, like all the other Black people tweeted.
Right.
This shit was very nice, milquetoast. It left no room to really like disagree, and this motherfucker's still soaring. What a terrible person, man. As always for me, man. Well, actually no, since the last time we've actually elevated a level, Dracarys for
same.
Zimmerman. Fuck him.
Yes.
Black conservative Candace Owens warns Black voters about racist Bernie Sanders. Well, I gotta say, this is the best endorsement he's had since the goddamn primaries began. I can't think of a better endorsement than Candace Owens coming out and being like, don't vote for this man. Like, honestly, Elizabeth Warren somewhere like, what else I gotta do? Okay? Joe Biden like, I also am racist. Okay? Just please, Candace Owens, tell Black people not to fuck with me, please. Black conservative talking head Candace Owens believes Democratic front runner Bernie Sanders is the best racist on the left. Not a fact was front. She don't need no facts. She's warning African American voters to be very wary of self-described socialists. During a debate on Fox News, the Ingraham angle. Oh, she's fully on Fox News. She's a media darling now. That's so sad. The low ass standards of Fox News.
Come on.
And Republicans and what they will let ooze underneath the fucking door to be a talking head minority. It's so sad. It's so funny that they're the one that preaches all this exceptionalism, and yet they end up taking the fucking bottom of the barrel token niggas over there. It's so sad. It's like, what? You don't even have like the good sellout niggas. Like these are just the niggas that couldn't make it when it was time to swim upstream. Like, what is this? The weakest niggas are over there. Yeah, so she engaged in an exchange with civil rights attorney Leo Terrell. Why are you on there, Leo? Come on, man. You don't have to pick up the phone when Fox calls, man. Tired of these excuses, man. Shit is corny. Like I knew a dude, Facebook knew a dude that goes on Fox News regularly, or used to. I don't know if he still does. And he would go on Facebook and get these like political opinions as if he was like some type of authority on the situation. Like, this is what black people need to do. This is what we need to do is this. And this is how I feel about this situation. And I kept thinking to myself, nigga, you be on Fox News. The fuck? You kicked it with Tucker Carlson. There's no opinion I want from you that I can, you're undercutting your own shit. How can I respect that, bro? What is this? Come on now, you gotta do better. You know, you don't get to be the authoritarian and fuck with them. Mm-mm. You really, like, you gotta, it's not working. This thing, we have now, what, 20 years of Fox News experience mm-hmm. to show that those people's minds don't get changed because the right guest was on the show and they're like, you know right. what? Now that I think about it, I've been thinking about this nigger thing the whole way wrong. Well, yeah, I don't know what else. I guess I was tripping. Thank God he came out there and explained it to me. Like, come on, man. Don't go on there. Sorry, like, it's never, your goodness never gonna shine through. But yeah, so they started off by calling out former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, whose campaign she believes is doomed because of his previous racially insensitive comments. Welcome to every nigga on social media. Everyone agrees with this. Right. I don't know how much of a issue this is gonna be in the actual election. And I'm really not gonna do the whole fuck Michael Bloomberg thing on our podcast because mm-mm. I feel like it's redundant. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine people don't already know this that listen to our podcast. So it would really just me preaching to the choir like everyone's been doing on Facebook and Twitter all week right. or for 2-3 weeks now. The real thing is he's being allowed to debate. I think the debate might be tonight or tomorrow. I'm not looking it up, but because I'm not gonna watch. But I actually think that's good that he's gonna be allowed to debate. People were like, oh, there's circumventing the rules. It's fucked up. He shouldn't be allowed. No. You're looking at this backwards. If you're anti-Michael Bloomberg, he needs to be on TV. And he needs to be on TV with people that know his past and oppose him and will at least go toe-to-toe with him about it. Now, the media talking heads, we know what they're going to do.
Right.
They're going to fucking say, like, oh, he did, this was good, and this was good that he did, and he said this. And so I don't expect, like, you know, Van Jones to, like, really come for this man's neck unless he, like, really gets exposed during the debates. Because they're going to try to be, quote-unquote, fair, which really means unfair. We saw what they did between Trump and Hillary. What I do want to see, though, is candidates confront him and like admonish him and pull out his past on TV, because guess where all the people who have changed their heart and thought maybe I should vote for this guy, guess where those people are coming from? The TV ads. So we need to see him castigated in the same place that his fucking ads run, because you're not gonna reach them on Facebook and Twitter. The people that do want to vote for him are not really fucking with those mediums. They go home, they watch the evening news, and they see great Michael Bloomberg ads. These fucking ads are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
It's Obama shaking his hand, talking about how great a dude he is, all out of context. It's, you know, some black person talking about how he helped them. It's him just shitting on Donald Trump, which we know black people hate Donald Trump. So, like, if you want to weigh into our hearts, just tell us you hate Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even believe people are like, when people try to dismiss that as, you can't just run on that. You can with black people. I can't speak for everybody else.
Yeah. Black fuck people. Him, yes, fuck him. Okay.
Like, one of these candidates could just wear a fuck Trump shirt and mm-hmm. people would be like, what's his name now?
Right.
Well, how you spell Yang? Okay. Yes. I'm Yang Gang, apparently. So yeah, fuck Trump works for black people. It might not work for everybody.
Right.
And, yeah, so I you know, we'll see what happens with Bloomberg at this debate, but hopefully people get to bring it up to his face and he'll be asked some questions from the moderators about his past and, you know, these clips and shit that keep surfacing because he was a Republican. He got them clips, y'all. It's all this shit is out there anyway. So many agree about Michael Bloomberg's problematic past, but when she turned her attention to Sanders, who she predicts would turn out to be LBJ 2.0, LBJ is only considered like some horrible impending doom if you're, you know, Republican. Like, even with him being a pretty blatant racist, I mean, black people fuck with LBJ because he did the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Act. in the 60s.
LBJ.
Lyndon Johnson.
Okay.
Like, I don't, that's not the, that's only scary. You know what? You know what though? She's saying that for her white conservative fan base. Mm-hmm. So it's scary to them.
Mm-hmm.
She's on Fox News speaking to her base, so. The good races, the best races on the left, by the way, is Bernie Sanders, because he pretends to be their friend. He lies to Black America's face. He knows he is going to be the one like Lyndon Baines Johnson. He's Lyndon Baines Johnson 2.0, who is going to enact policies that are going to harm Black America for the next 100 years. Well, he smiles in their faces and he takes the bait. Yeah, so, because they think welfare destroyed the Black community, and the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, because in conservative America, that's, those things were terrible to, for Black people. It was better when we had Jim Crow, segregation and slavery. Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, she gets a permanent jacquard. Fuck her.
Yeah, permanent jacquard for her ass as well. New York Fashion Institute of Technology issues an apology after their clearly racist runway show. So you remember the monkey lips and...
Yes, yeah. I remember the monkey lips.
Yeah, well, the Fashion Institute of Technology, FIT, went ahead and apologized.
Okay.
Yep.
But are they going to correct it, like, to be sure this doesn't happen in the future? We just saying this because it became a hot fucking mess.
Let's see.
That makes a difference.
On Tuesday, they issued a statement. Currently, it does not appear that the original intent of the design, the issue of accessories, or the creative direction of the show was to make a statement about race. However, it is now glaringly obvious that has been the outcome, said Joyce Brown, the school's president. Brown continued apologizing to those who participated in the show, to students, and to anybody who has been offended by what they saw. Brown went on to say the school will be taking steps to alleviate the issue and is making sure it doesn't happen in the future. So there you go, Karen.
Okay, that's all I want to know, because sometimes I'll be like, I'll bet, because we scared, because y'all can't find next, but we ain't really willing to change, so we're gonna fuck up again, because you know that's what happens, and we're gonna have to go through this song and dance again.
They said school officials will be meeting with the school's diversity council, faculty, staff, government association, and employee union to discuss race. According to ABC News, FIT will also reportedly implement safeguards to ensure that a situation like this will not happen again. Regardless of intent or artistic vision, we must be continually aware of that which constitutes an authentic artistic expression and that which creates a risk to the intended message and interpretation of the art form. There is no room for error, which can be interpreted as racism, homophobia, religious intolerance, or any other kind of bigotry, Brown said.
Come on through.
It's a pretty thorough apology.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's kind of that thing, you know, you fucked up, and it's not like I expect people to accept the apology, but mm-mm. That's pretty thorough apology. So 0 to Jacquard's.
Yeah, like I give it a 25. I love the apology. I just wish it hadn't happened. But this is the apology that everybody claims they want. But like you say, we in the society now where you fuck up, no apology is good enough.
And let's be frank, it just takes time to show if their actions are going to match that apology.
Correct.
So I'll say 50. I'll say 50. We'll see. Actually, you know what? No, 25. I'm actually not fucked with pretty much at all. No, 0. Actually not fucked with at all. We'll see what their actions do though. Right. Like the original thing fucked with me, but the apology, I don't.
Correct.
Okay.
See. That's why I gave it 25.
Yeah, I'm not really bothered by that.
Mm-mm.
Professor suspended for calling police on Black student. A white professor at an Indiana university who called police to his classroom after a Black student refused to change seats will not be teaching for the remainder of the semester. Must have had tenure. No formal charges or disciplinary action was immediately taken against Ball State University marketing professor Shaheen Borner. And he continued to teach after the classroom incident January 21st. The decision is in the best interest of Dr. Borner and the university, the school said of his suspension in a statement Thursday.
No, we don't want no protests.
The student they probably already had him.
Yeah,
this happened January 21st.
Yeah, we don't want continued protests for the rest of the fucking spring semester. Nah, you got to go.
The student from Chicago who declined to switch seats, Sultan Mufasa Benson, characterized the teacher's punishment as an insufficient slap on the wrist. Benson has said he believes he was singled out in the class because of his race and that he feared for his safety when police were called. I want justice and a temporary leave for all of the policies he broke is still just the bare minimum, but at least it's a step forward in the right direction. In a letter to the university students newspaper, the Daily News, and about 30 of Borner's fellow faculty members expressed support and urged those who don't know him not to judge him based on this one act, noting Borner is not as a by-the-book person. What is not about a book person? They say Borner chose to handle the classroom incident based on his understanding of the code of student rights and responsibilities. Apex Q responded to disruption in academic setting. The code gives faculty the authority to instruct the student to temporarily leave a classroom if they are disruptive, which the code defines as any behavior a reasonable person would view as being likely or substantially or repeatedly interfere with the conduct of an academic setting. If the student refuses to leave, university police should be called and requested to remove the student from the academic setting, the code reads. Benson was given an ultimatum to move or have the police call. When two police officers arrived, Benson left the classroom. More than 100 faculty members signed a letter to the student newspaper condemning the misuse of the police in the classroom, calling out the institutional racism behind it, and telling you, our students, that we are here with you. So I guess only 30 of his fellow people was like, we with him, we with the teacher. But then over 100 of them was like, no, the fuck we not. Yeah, and I'm with that, because essentially calling the police in this environment on a black kid, you know what it means when they call the police. You know what it means when somebody calls police on a black person, man. Like, you're being disobedient, and this is essentially the people that I know traumatize and abuse you, and I want them to come handle the situation with trauma and abuse. That's what it is. Now look, I don't know what happened in the classroom, so I'm allowing a little bit for, you know, that thing where I don't want to say, you know, just carte blanche, like maybe a video comes out and this nigga was in there talking about, I'ma kill all you motherfuckers, I'll blow this bitch up.
We don't know.
Right. If that was the case or something like that, I feel like it would be in this article.
You're right.
Some witness somewhere would be trying to defend this man by being like,
people have cameras for fucking everything.
Yeah, but if it was just like, can you change seats, and the kid was like, nah, I'm sitting here, I don't know how it gets to the, and now I'm calling the police over it. There's so many other avenues to either discipline or make a point to a student that aren't this. You could have gave him a fucking zero for the day. You could have told him mandatory office meeting later. You could have, you know, you could have talked to him after class. Something that's not. And now the next step is calling the police. What are you gonna say?
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting. More, because sometimes, you know, more shit comes out, so more shit will come out.
Right. Our first concern is Borner's rapid escalation of the situation involving other police to resolve a disagreement about seating. The letter said, no disruption or physical threat existed. The use of police to get one's way in a classroom is institutional violence. We support our students of color as they deal with the trauma of these events and navigate its fallout. The NAACP was also outraged. Ain't they always? Come through. Calling Borner's decision an example of weaponizing the police against people of color impetuously. Come on. Agreed. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
0 to 100. This one get 100.
Yeah, it's pretty much 100. I mean, like I said, unless some shit comes out where, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine what they would have left out of their defense of the professor and allowed this to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not how any of this fucking works. Like, when they got your ass, they got your ass. And they definitely don't be sitting up there talking about something. Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They just be like, this nigga was talking about killing everybody.
Yeah. Oh, we would have known. It didn't be like, quote, this is what you said.
Right. So, all right, let's get to something else.
They ain't gonna like me. They ain't gonna like me. I'll be getting to the money. Everybody, man.
Everybody That's right. It's time to talk about these black capitalists and why we hate them. Okay.
No, why you hate them.
We as black people, I speak
why
for all
you lonely numero uno one person.
I speak for all the woke blacks on social media.
No, you don't.
When I say we hate them, we hate capitalism and we hate black people that love capitalism. Okay.
With the end.
If you black and you somehow struggled and made it out of the hood and survived and became something and made a whole lot of money, I don't fuck with you. Okay. I only like my black people the same way I like my eggshells. Broke. Okay.
Oh Lord.
And they get a little too much money, they start acting different, Karen. All right. Now I got to stand during the national anthem. I don't think so. Let's get to the first people that's bothering me. Did I do this one already?
I don't
know. Will and Jada Pinkett Smith are doing a world tour series that lands a $200 million sponsor.
That's what I'm talking about.
$200 million. Don't you niggas have enough?
No.
Mm-mm-mm. What about people in Flint ain't got water, clean water or something? And I know that your son is one of the people that's working on
something.
That. Mm-hmm. And I know
so how much you care.
And I know that Karen, people only care about them when it's time to admonish a black celebrity. And I know that your son, Jaden, is one of the people out there helping them people.
Out there.
But it's not enough.
Doing the Lord's work. That baby out there like, look.
It's not enough. I didn't see Karate Kid swell.
He's fixing pipes and everything. This.
Will and Jada are both superstars in their own right, but the dynamics of their union together make them a force to be reckoned with. In a recent business venture, the power couple partnered with entertainment company Westbrook Inc., along with Apollo World Touring to launch a live event world tour. The tour will feature A-list artists, celebrities, and DJs with hopes of increasing awareness around environmental issues. Oh, so this is what you, so, well, what's the carbon footprint on this tour, sis? Hmm? Do you want to think about that? I don't think so. You need to just have everybody sit at that red table and do what you already doing. Stop trying to get bigger and better. Black people need to be limited to what they can do, because that's the only thing I find acceptable in this capitalism. Okay.
Boo to you. Boo this man.
AG BioN is a renewable energy and fuel company in Australia who partnered with the Smiths to offer up a 5-year sponsorship for the tour worth $200 million. In a press release, AG BioN's chairman Charles Hunting said, "This is the power of entertainment coming together with the power of innovation to help transform the world." You should have had Common say that.
Yeah, that do sound like a phrase he would say.
And AI, this is the power of entertainment coming together with the power of innovation to help transform the world. Like, come on, Common. They can't be paying you for this. We want to shine a light on the powerful innovations that can deliver huge benefits, both socially and environmentally. As we transition to a climate-friendly future, this partnership will help us build momentum around the deployment of the technology, these technologies, which is an urgent priority in the global community. I mean, if the global economy is to get on track for a net carbon zero future. I prefer net carbon, original flavor.
Oh Lord.
Carbon zero don't got the same taste, Karen. No calories, but the taste is just, give me all the old school carbon. Anyway, that's terrible to see these black people manipulating y'all and y'all falling for
it. Wonderful.
They getting the 200 mil, not us, okay?
This is wonderful.
Former CEO of Xerox, Ursula Burns, donates $1 million to preserve an oral archive of black history.
Let's go.
Are you serious? $1 million Xerox dollars? The white man Xerox?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do nothing but copy the black people. Literally what they do. Copy black stuff on the white pieces of paper and get all the credit. I don't think so. I don't want your blood money, sis. I would rather
they're giving it to you. Okay.
I would rather not have an oral archive of black history. Okay.
No,
we got enough black history as is.
No, we don't. We need all the black history. Dig it up.
Show the kids. Show the kids eyes on the prize for the 15th time.
No.
This February, and save $1 million by giving it to a black organization.
Let somebody else make the top 15 favorite list of approved Negroes.
Give it to a black organization that helps black people on the ground, like my PayPal account. That's where the money need to be going, to people that actually do this work.
But it's the same Xerox white man money. What are you talking about?
Mm-mm. I don't, it's different when it's in my hands.
Ah, all of a sudden it got a new meaning.
It's just, that's how it works, Karen, okay? This is how I've seen it work on social media. The company donated $1 million to a video oral history archive initiative called The History Makers, which records the stories of extraordinary African Americans for posterity. The History Makers is housed at the Library of Congress and is the largest collection of African American stories told on video in the nation. According to Black Enterprise, Burns' generous donation will allow the project to expand significantly. The gift will be allocated toward the production of 180 interviews of African American women in a slew of different roles, including arts, business, civic engagement, education, entertainment, law, medicine, STEM, the military, and religion, who will be added to History Maker's already vast collection. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interviews of African American women too. So it's like they were very specific and intentional with this donation. So, you know, I have no choice but to say this is black capitalism gonna rock.
What?
We don't need this, okay? We need less black women's historical point of views preserved if it's coming from capitalistic blood money, Karen. No thank you. Netflix Netflix sets release date of Madam C.J. Walker docuseries Self-Made.
Come on!
It's coming out
first black billionaire woman.
Right. See, this ain't nothing but black billionaire propaganda.
No, this how they not. Get
you. Mm-hmm. This how Beyonce got you. This how Jay-Z got you. Okay, this how Byron Allen getting y'all niggas. Y'all keep falling for this shit. Oh, look, a rich black person. Ooh, I love it. Oh my goodness. Oh,
she was serving her community.
Mm-mm. You got to get that, get your 1% ass up out of the race, sis. You a coon.
Lord.
And a sellout for making these black women have products that treat their hair and make them beautiful, and you did it for money? Instead of
yes.
Free?
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
What is you doing for free?
Now you living in air conditioning and shit? While the rest of us out here hot as hell? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It's just a conspiracy to give you weaves to sweat out. Okay? that's what they doing. These capitalists, they tricky like that. Octavia Spencer is set to star as Sarah Breedlove, known as Madam C.J. Walker, the iconic black hair care pioneer, the mogul who overcame racism and family turmoil to become America's first black self-made female millionaire. Walker was born in Louisiana.
Oh, I said billion. I meant million. My bad.
Yeah, it's okay. I know what you blacks, you always inflating the money. But even with a black millionaire, I say it's too much.
Even with a black millionaire back then, it might have been a billion.
I'm going to be honest. Black 45,000 now. Mm-mm. I'm out.
What?
Too much for me. You need to be broke, okay? If you out here planning your next meal, something, then you ain't really living like the rest of us, keeping it real.
Mm-mm.
On these Twitter streets.
Don't y'all listen to that Negro.
Okay. Wow. See this kind of propaganda.
I'm trying to help y'all kids.
Kind of propaganda I try to keep off of our show that I had to deal with. Y'all see what I'm working with here?
You see what I'm working with.
It's an uphill battle when you know, you're trying to fight against white supremacy and capitalism by yourself.
By yourself.
The black woman don't even have your back.
So don't.
Mm-mm-mm. I guess I'm just a hater then.
They ain't gonna like me. They ain't gonna like me. I be getting to the money. Everybody, man. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody, man. Same old nigga on the block. Same old nigga with the top. Same old nigga for the trap. Everybody hated on the Danny Brown's right back.
It's time to play our other favorite game around here, guys.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen, and the chat room to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a racist. All right, let's get to the first one, guys. A woman was forced to watch Roots to understand her racism, Cedar Rapids police say. A Cedar Rapids man who was arrested Monday is accused of holding a woman captive and forcing her to watch Roots, a 9-hour miniseries that chronicles author Alex Haley's family line from the capture and enslavement of his ancestor Kunta Kinte to the liberation of Kinte's descendants. Robert Lee Noye, 52, forced a woman to sit with him at a residence on 700 block of Second Avenue and watch the series so she could better understand her racism, according to a criminal complaint. Well, that's one way to do it. When she tried to move, Noye told her to remain seated and watch the movie with him, or he would kill her and spread her body parts across Interstate 380 on the way to Chicago.
Holy shit!
He faces charges of first-degree harassment and false imprisonment. Karen, guess the race of Robert Noye.
Black.
Karen's going with black. All right. This fine educator. Let's see who else. You think you, like, what's your name? Let's see. Guess Negro. Black History Month. Black. Black History. Black African. Tales from the Hood. Black. African's not a race, it's a country. Okay. Wake up, Marlene. Okay. Some of us are woke over here. Black. Lord. Aggressive Negro. Liberal White. Trying to convert the Saltines one docuseries at a time. Mm-hmm. This is what we need, more classes. Okay. We need more people like this. White man, zero one mind black. I don't know what that means. Africa is the continent, raw, exactly. Black, you know what I'm saying? It's the motherland, and it's white people. You know, Charlize Theron is from Africa. Mm-hmm. A lot of y'all didn't know
that. Did you mean it? Wanted to cut a foot off black?
I did not see that. The correct answer is he was black. He probably been listening to the Black Capitalist segment. This dude is about it.
About that life.
Why is he smiling so hard?
I don't know. Some people said other, so somebody said white.
Somebody said white? Oh, mm-hmm. Jesus. Oh, I didn't even notice that. That was so wrong, my brain didn't even want to register that someone would have easily missed that fucking layup and guessed that one. Alright, let's go to the next one. I wonder what the fucking purpose was behind that. Like, did she say something racist to him? He said, you know what? I'm gonna teach your ass.
Today? You gonna learn today?
Yeah. Like, I got time today. Literally 9 hours.
Right.
We finna binge this shit.
I done used PTO for this. You gonna watch this shit.
A Big Apple-based personal trainer says a doctor refused to remove the breast implants she was convinced were making her sick because he didn't want to ruin her Sports Illustrated body.
What? That's not your decision.
Fitness influencer Beck Donlin, that's whose race we're guessing, 33, told Real Self that she got the implants 11 years ago because she was self-conscious about being born with a concave chest. The Australian native loved her new breasts so much that she was willing to overlook fears that they were behind a series of health woes, including crazy stomach problems, chronic fatigue, and numbness. I had heard of breast implant illness, but I thought it sounded like bullshit, and to be honest, I didn't care because I really love my boobs and didn't want to give them up.
And the technology has gotten so much better since then, but go ahead.
I will put up with any issue to keep my boobs. As her health continued to deteriorate, Donlin discovered last July that her implants had been recalled and says a doctor told her bluntly, you need to get your implants taken out ASAP. But the tough part was finding the doctor willing to do it, says Donlin, famed for her popular Sweat with Beck classes across the city. Doctors told me that they wouldn't do it because it wouldn't look good. One even said, you got a Sports Illustrated body. I'm going to leave you looking terrible, so I'm not doing it. She finally settled on I guess for doctors, there is a different level of worry that this person's gonna go on botched after this, and now I'm all fucked up. She finally settled on a board certificate, certified plastic surgeon in California for the op, posting an emotional confessional on Instagram in late December to prepare followers for the big change to come. Seeing myself after the explant was a lot. It's not cute. It's a very deflated looking situation, but it was crazy how much better it felt right away. The fitness entrepreneur has continued to post about her journey after the reduction, including a topless photo with her arm covering her flatter chest. My body is online a lot because of my job, and this was obviously going to be a big physical change. If I hadn't made this public, I probably wouldn't have left my apartment, she told Real Self. I loved my implants, but I had to choose health over aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. And she can always get more if she chooses to.
But then they might be recalling them in 10 years. Maybe she's scared.
Yeah, you have to do it like a tune-up. You have to get them changed every so many years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to get your breast implants changed every so many years. Yeah, because they you know, they leak. The technology has changed. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Anyway, Karen, guess the race.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Shrimp on the Barbie, white. Oh, she white. A titty tune-up. Well, damn. That's not a race. Beck, the chick from the Netflix docuseries, you white. White. A lot of guesses of white this time around. And the correct answer is white. Weird that they only showed pictures of her in the article with the breast implants. So we could be like, yeah, there was a Playboy body or whatever, Sports Illustrated body or whatever it was. Did it show up yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they just showed
pictures. And a lot of people get breast stuff and they don't know, like, that. No, I don't know if that's something that's not emphasized enough, but they don't tell people, hey, every so many years, you like you said, like a tune-up, you got to get this shit changed.
Yeah, I guess my guess would be if you get the procedure, they probably tell you.
I'm
because of all the shit they got to tell you beforehand. Right. But I mean, if you really want the implants and shit, I mean, it's not gonna really stop anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's like, well, you can't be doing this procedure unless it's somewhat safe. So I'm gonna just do it,
correct,
and worry about that shit later.
Right.
You know, but because I'm sure in the pre-op they tell you a lot of. No matter what it is, they tell you a bunch of dangerous shit.
And I'm pretty sure people go, do, 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 do.
Yeah. So, you know, unless you get them done somewhere less reputable or regulated.
Correct.
You know? All right, let's go to the bonus round. Karen so far is actually 2-for-2.
Can you believe it?
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race. Bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen's 2-for-2. Let's see if she can go 3-for-3. All right. Last one, Karen.
I'ma try.
A 26-year-old Michigan resident was arrested early Friday after relieving himself on the bumper of a marked police car.
What?
According to Florida cops who captured him midstream. Police say that Johnson... I guess his name, David Marcel Lewis Johnson. Johnson was in downtown St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg. Around 1 a.m. when he was observed approaching a sergeant's police vehicle. He then removed his penis from the front of his pants and urinated on the rear bumper of the vehicle. An arrest affidavit reports that Johnson was taken into custody while still in the commission of the crime. Oh, they stopped him in the middle of the stream. It's one way to stop a live stream.
Ah, that's a good one.
Oh shit. That's not stop. That was it. Okay.
It did.
An arrest affidavit reports that Johnson was taken into custody. Da, da, da. Johnson was uncooperative with questioning, was charged with disorderly conduct for urinating in the view of members of the public. He was freed from custody after a relative posted $250 cash bond. He lives outside of Detroit and has pleaded not guilty to the misdemeanor count. Not guilty. Okay. I don't know how you gonna get on that. Video. Yeah, all them cameras and shit on their cars. You know, when the police arrested him, they probably said, you're in trouble. You really gotta stop this life of crime. You're heading down the wrong urinary tract. Okay, that was enough. Karen, guess the race.
What was his name?
His name is David Marcel Lewis Johnson.
I I sound like a black ass now. I'm gonna go black.
Karen's going black. Let's hit the chat room. Black. Johnson showing his Johnson black. Raining down on me black. No beat for that piss white. No beating for that piss white. Black, nigra, drunken black. Johnson. Oops, black. The correct answer is he was black. And of course, a couple of you guys missed it. So I guess he really made them the Florida PD. Once again. I'm sorry, everybody. All right, let's go to Sword Ratchetness. Alright, y'all, let's talk about sword ratchetness, guys. People out here with swords doing all kinds of ratchet things, and we have to talk about it. A sword wielder allegedly threatens a supervisor over packages in Spring Lake Park.
Well, damn.
I gotta wait for the shit to load. Give it 1 second. There we go. A 57-year-old Spring Lake Park man is charged with threatening another man with a sword over deliveries last month. Sam Earl Dixon Jr., I don't see his race, faces one felony count of threats of violence. January 17th, police responded to a call to report the threats of violence, according to the criminal complaint. Upon arrival, police spoke with a maintenance supervisor for the apartment complex. The supervisor told police he went to an apartment to clean a drain and knocked on the door, but nobody answered. After no one responded, the victim placed a plumbing snake on the ground and began returning to the office when Dixon allegedly opened a neighboring door and began yelling at him. He reportedly told the victim, "I'm going to cut you up." Man, apartment supervisor is one of those jobs I get it, but man, they would have to pay me so much, and I gotta get my rent free, cause man, dealing with people and then the place they live has gotta be fucking terrifying.
Right.
You know, not to mention just dirty places and shit, and then people's domestic situations, and crazy people. Dixon reportedly told the victim, "I'm gonna cut you up." Dixon had a cane containing a sword and approached the victim as if he were going to swing it. According to complaint, the victim fled and called police. Dixon told officers he heard someone knock on the door and leave a package. He said he believed the victim was a UPS carrier. But why would you, so it was a UPS carrier. So you answered the door and pulled out a sword?
Right.
At the exit of his apartment, Dixon allegedly confronted the victim, shouting, "At least wait for the neighbor to answer the door." So he thought he was being a good neighbor. He thought the person knocked on the other person's door with a package and then just turned around and left. And obviously none of this was happening at that time. It was a person doing maintenance and fixing a drain. Dixon confronted the man because he was tired of UPS carriers knocking on doors and leaving packages which would be stolen, he said. So of course, you threaten him with a sword, that always fixes the problem. Well, now I'm gonna hang around longer with your package. Dixon told police he has a sword cane but denied threatening anyone with it. So how did the fuck he just amazing guess that he knew you had a sword cane. You didn't wield it or anything. He just fucking said, and he pulled a sword out of a cane. And you like, "Well, I didn't do that, but wow, what a coincidence. I do have a sword cane in my house."
How did you know?
What the fuck else did he do? Guess your weight? Like, what the fuck? He also was able to tell what color my bed sheets were. It was amazing. He admitted to having 3 or 4 drinks prior to the incident, according to complaint, which means 6 or 8 drinks by drunk math. Anyway, guys, that's it for this week.
It is.
Tomorrow's a doubleheader for premium people. This Too Much is in the morning at 9 a.m. and Ballsy Sports will be in the afternoon at like 5, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. That's when we're doing it. I don't think I have plans for Friday night. I don't know. Guys, I'm just working so hard over here. I don't know. But yeah, so.
No, should nothing be happening.
Okay, so then we'll probably do it either Thursday or Friday night. We'll do Balls Deep. So yeah, we appreciate y'all, and thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Thanks to all the people that do go premium and support us that way. All the people that leave 5-star reviews. If you haven't left one, you know,
leave one.
Make this the opportunity to leave one. And all that stuff, man. We appreciate y'all. And until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.